present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us today at the Yvonne Arnault Theatre in Guildford, a town offering many surprises to the first-time visitor. It's not every Surrey commuter town that can boast not only a bustling bohemian Latin quarter, but also a Moorish citadel surrounded by a warren of dark, sinister streets that provided film locations for Truffaut, Fassbinder and Bergman. And neither can Guildford. The town really started to grow during the Industrial Revolution after the construction of the Wey Navigation Canal, providing 19th century merchants with a means to distribute their new products and 20th century consumers with somewhere to dump their old ones. In 1837, Josiah Hawkins came here to build England's first ever paper mill. Sadly, during the Great Gale of 1838, it blew away. Today's show is the first in a brand new series. We have new games, new songs, and a new time slot. In fact, it's difficult to think of a single element that isn't fresh and up to date. Four elements, however. On my left, Graham Gardner, Barry Cryer. And on my right, Tim Brooke Taylor and Fred McCauley. Sadly, our regular scorer, Samantha, can't be with us this week. Well, she's preparing for a cultural exchange in Lapland. She's round at the local Scandinavian club trying a spot of lap dancing. So please welcome in her place the very muscular Sven. We start with the round taking business and marketing as a theme. You know, it's all too easy to forget that what made Britain a world power was her firm commercial foundation and finely honed skills in trading with other nations. That and marching over them with a bloody great army. But not all businesses and products have met with unqualified success. I'd like the teams to suggest some examples that would have spelt certain commercial disaster. Barry, will you start, please?
Lewinsky dry cleaners. So why buy a new dress? Stick to the old one.
Fred.
What about the Willie Thorne hair gel? Or Harry Thorne Willie gel?
Graham?
The Robin Cook Department of Plastic Surgery.
Pickett and Dodd Tax Specialists.
John Prescott School of Elocution.
Robbie Fowler's English Usage.
Okay, now, we're going to play a game called One Song to the Tune of Another. But don't worry, teams, despite the title, this really couldn't be much simpler. Our first requirement for this is lots of songs, and we find these by popping along to the nearest record library. Now, I should explain. When I say record library, I don't mean a library that's a record, in that it's, say, the smallest or largest in the world. The smallest would be no good anyway, because presumably it has very little in it. And the largest library in the world is in Sao Paulo, so that's out under the nearest rule. That is, unless, of course, you happen to live in Sao Paulo, in which case it could be on your doorstep. Who knows, you might even work at the library and already play this game in the staff room during your break, in which case it could hardly be nearer. And in passing, may I also congratulate you on your command of English language songs. Now, I can guess what you're about to ask, teams. As per usual, you're thinking, where are we going to find a bilingual Brazilian librarian in Guildford at this time of night? Well, we don't have to, because anyone can play one song to the tune of another. You really don't need to be a musical genius. and to prove the point all too graphically. We have Colin Sell at the piano. Tim, we'll start with you. Yeah, a round of applause for Colin. It's better to make certain of it at the beginning. Tim, we'll start with you. Will you please sing the words of Lou Reed's Walk on the Wild Side to the tune of A Bicycle Made for Two?
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhike away across the USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go, do 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 do.
Okay, Graham, now, will you please sing the words of Knees Up Mother Brown to the tune of Sailing By?
Knees up, Mother Brown.
Well!
Knees up, Mother Brown. Come along, dearie, let it go. E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-O. It's your blooming birthday. Let's wake up all the town. So knees up, don't get the breeze up. Knees up, Mother Brown. Come along, dearie, let it go. E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-O.
Fred, will you please sing the words of the Laughing Policeman to the tune of Elvis's Hound Dog?
I know a fat old policeman. He's always on the street.
Yeah, yeah.
A fat and jolly red-faced man. He really is a treat. He's too kind for a policeman. He's never known to frown. And everybody says he is the happiest man in town.
Finally, Barry, will you please sing the words of Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing to the...
That's what I mean.
To the tune of Swanee.
Fiddler on the roof.
Baby, I'm hot just like an oven. I need some loving. And baby, I can't hold it much longer. It's getting that feeling. I want sexual healing, sex, you want healing. Oh, baby, makes me feel so fine. It helps to relieve my mind.
Well, while Sven busily tots up the score, we move on to our next round, which is a tribute to that recent surprise TV success, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It's the general knowledge quiz hosted by Chris Tarrant, where obscenely large amounts of cash can be carried off nightly by some lucky individual with no obvious special talent, chosen quite arbitrarily, called Chris Tarrant. In our specially adapted Radio 4 version of the Big Money Quiz, our lucky contestants get the chance to win up to $1 million in the South American currency of their choice. Up to the maximum sterling equivalent of a fiver. They simply have to answer a series of questions relating to the shipping forecast. So, let's play. Let's play Who Wants to Be in Finisterre? To decide who goes first, I have to challenge our teams to put four things in order against the clock. Colin Sell will be creating a sense of tension on his keyboard teams. So, fingers on keypads, and starting with the first and ending with the last, put these four in order, please. A, B, C, and finally D. Off you go. Okay, let's see who got it right. But more importantly, who was the fastest? And with a time of just 8.7 minutes, I see Tim Brooke Taylor. So, Tim, you go first. Well done.
Thank you.
Tim is an unemployable university graduate from Buxton. And he says if he goes all the way and wins the fiver, he's going to buy a new centre forward for Derby County. He didn't say what he'd do with the other £3.
They don't have to be expensive with our manager.
Okay, Tim, now you have three lifelines. You can ask the audience, go 50-50, or phone a friend. And here's your question. Tim, what does showers good mean?
Showers good. This is what English British people say during Wimbledon fortnight when they can't get in at Wimbledon and they go, oh, showers good. Probably like that.
Okay, well, is that A, B, C, or D?
I think it's D, but can I phone a friend?
If you want to phone a friend, yes.
Here's the number.
You mean I've got to dial it?
Shall I dial it, huh? Here we go. Hello, are you there?
Hello, this is Stephen Hawking. I am not in just now. If you know the secret to the origins of the universe, press 1. If you are on Who Wants to Be in Finisterre, choose answer D.
Thank you, Steve. You're a pal. D, Hump.
Is that your final answer?
D's my final answer, Hump.
Do you want to change your mind?
No.
That's your final answer. For those of you listening at home, your radio set hasn't gone wrong. I'm just going through a repertoire of its cruciating facial contortions. Okay, with the money you've earned still climbing, Barry now, what was the area known as Southeast Iceland originally called?
Southeast Bijab.
Is that A, B, C, or D?
A.
Is that your final answer?
No, I'm just deaf. I said, hey. No, A.
Oh, well done. Now, Graham, which area name literally means end of the world?
Milton Keynes.
You're going with B then. I said, you're going with B then. Take your time.
No. I'm going with A, Milton Keynes.
This is getting very exciting now. Fred, now, you've got a total of 40 pence, and it's this question to double it, all right? Who is sailing by?
I think there's a comma in there, and the answer is Robert Maxwell. I'm sailing by.
Was that A, B, C, or D?
I'm not tense enough. Can I phone the audience?
Well, not quite.
A, please, Humphrey.
You're going to stay with that? You're going to stay with A, are you?
I'll stick with A.
Final answer?
Final answer.
What's that noise that keeps getting out? Think you've got £1.20, you can have the cheque now or you can gamble it. The question is for Graham. Do you want to take it, Graham? Oh, sorry, I thought that was the question. Do you want to take it, Graham?
Can I go 50-50?
So I've heard.
No, the question is, how was Colin Sell reviewed during his tour of British shipping stations and inshore coastal waters?
I think I know this one. Mainly variable, becoming poor.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You had £1.20?
Thank you.
If you'd said A, woohoo, you'd have lost it. If you'd said B, you'd have lost it. If you said C or D, you'd have lost it.
I think we all know who's lost it.
Okay. Now, as we drive around the highways of Britain, we've all spotted those slightly ragged individuals standing at the side of the road holding up place names. Possibly as a result of the minimum wage, many local authorities are now replacing these people with metal posts. And yet another traditional skill is lost. This will leave only the hardy hitchhiker to raise a cheery thumb, followed swiftly by two adjoining fingers as the anticipated free lift speeds off into the distance. Motorists should be warned that unscrupulous hitchhikers have taken to conning unsuspecting motorists by positioning an attractive young woman on the curbside. Our own Barry Cryer, in an act of selfless generosity, stopped to help over a dozen in less than 100 yards on one night. On one night, in just these circumstances, according to his solicitor. Okay, teams, you're going to take turns to be motorists and hitchhikers. The object of the game is for the drivers to guess what unfortunate secret their passengers are harbouring. Graham and Barry, I'd like you to start, please, and you can be the drivers. After about a mile or so, I'd like you to stop to pick up Tim and Fred. They're the hitchhikers. As they get into your car, we shall signal this secret to the audience via the laser display board.
They think Barry and Graham are their parents. They think Barry and Graham are their parents.
Are you ready? Then start motoring.
Brum, brum.
Brum, brum. That mile went past quickly, didn't it?
It did indeed.
Look, there's two hitchhikers.
I say, let's stop and pick them up.
Nah.
I think you're right.
Oh, all right.
Get in, chaps.
Hop in, lads.
Why should we?
They seem a touch aggressive.
Yes. Well, you had your thumbs out. I assume they're your thumbs.
Sorry, were you talking to me again?
Yes.
Boring, boring.
Tim's leaning on me.
I'm not leaning on you. Can we have the Teletubbies song again, please? street.
They sound a bit childish.
Yes, childish. Childish, and arguing amongst themselves.
Them seeing I'm a girl.
You are a girl, whatever a girl is.
I'm a girl of eight.
Can I open the window?
I want to have a wee.
Do you think there are kids?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, your turn to be the drivers this time, Tim and Fred. You're the hitchhikers, of course, Barry and Graham. Same rules apply. Off you go.
Barry and Graham think they are 3 feet tall. Barry and Graham think they are 3 feet tall.
Don't let's pick up any bald or grey-haired men.
Am I driving?
I hope so. I've heard of automatics, but this is ridiculous. Oh, let's let these two in. Welcome, into the car.
Thank you very much. Who spoke then?
It's very roomy in here, isn't it?
Oh. Have a stroll about. Oh, that was the ashtray. I hurt myself then.
Can you see over the back of this seat?
Who said that?
I can now. Oh, thank you, Graham. Oh, yes, I can now.
That's all right.
Do you want a leg up so you can put your seatbelt on?
That's very kind.
Seatbelt will do two of us.
Not very big, are they?
They're not. I think they're whatever is politically correct at small people description of some sort.
Right.
Three time feet for more. High.
Sorry, Barry.
3 feet high was the PC definition.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's very small, isn't it?
Yes.
In anybody's language. Okay, time for more music now, with the teams displaying their instrumental duet skills in a round of Swanee Kazoo. And what could make a better combination than the chirpy rasp of the kazoo with the ethereal trill of the Swanee whistle? Well, a handful of Mogadon and a pair of industrial strength ear defenders obviously spring to mind, but we're going to play the game anyway. Backing will be provided, as ever, by Colin Sell at the piano. Actually, we were interested to hear that Colin has recently been enjoying himself in the brass section. The manageress of Dorothy Perkins says if she catches him in there again, she'll be... she'll call the police. Kim and Fred, we'll start with you. Will you provide us with a version of the Camptown Races featuring Fred McCauley on the kazoo and Tim Brooke Taylor on the Swanee whistle? Okay, your turn, Barry and Graham. Will you provide a version, please, of the Banana Boat Song featuring Graham Garden on the Swanee whistle and the You Barry Cryer on the kazoo? Time to end the show, but not before we squeeze in a round of Royal Songbook. So while Sven nips off to the palace to take some snaps of a guardsman in his bear skin and later try to get his favourite prince enlarged, I'd like you... I'd like you, please, teams, to suggest titles of songs that might appeal to the royal household. And Fred, will you start, please?
I would have thought anything by Queen.
Perhaps. Were you thinking of We Are the Champion?
Send in the crowns.
We are a cider drinker.
What about Prince Philip? Greek balls of fire?
The royal mother's song when I'm weaning Windsors.
Sophie Rhys-Jones is Someday My Prince Will Come.
I Talk to the Trees by the artist formerly known as Prince.
His other big hit, Holding Back the Ears.
I've Had My Fill on Blueberry Hill. Knees Up, Mrs. Brown.
I need to get the accent right for this one. Fergie, cross the Mersey.
How wise of you not to attempt it. Snowden, Snowden, Snowden.
Balmoral, Balmoral, I love you.
The funky coronation chicken.
You'll never need a loan.
I'm Henry the Fourth, Part One, I am.
Hair in a G-string.
Corgi and Bess.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the slavering Radio 4 scheduler of time savages the airwaves of eternity, and the popular panel game of hope is axed by the cataclysmic network controller of doom, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the teams, Sven, myself and the fine folk of Guildford, it's goodbye.
Deborah Taylor, Barry Cryer, Graham Gardner and Fred McCauley were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Fell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith. ¶¶